Well, I'd like to thank our brother, first of all, for the kind words of welcome. I am delighted to be here in Calgary at this time. I have very, very many happy memories of the work of God here, and it is the only place I want to be in this particular historic occasion. That looking back a little bit, that I well remember in 1977, when Jim Warnock, who used to live out at Springbank, Jim phoned me when I was in Toronto, and he said, "Brother, any chance of getting the radio ministry over here in Calgary?" And so we worked on it, and we got the Let the Bible Speak broadcast to broadcast from Drumheller, and that started in 1977, and those were happy days. And then from that, there was a desire to start a church, and the Reverend William Whiteside, he came in 1980, and the very first meetings were held 35 years ago in Mount Royal College. I can't remember what that is, but that was Mount Royal College. That was on the 1st of June, 1980. And then shortly afterwards, they moved to Glenbrook Elementary School. That was after a couple of months, and then after a little while, they moved to Spruce Cliff Community Hall. And then after a little while, they were able to buy their own building. I forget exactly where it was, but I always remember it as the Blue Building. And they met there for many, many years until this building was opened on the 25th of October, 1998. And so many happy memories. Good to see some of the old friends, with the emphasis on the word old, because there's 35 years have passed by. Good to see Dirk and his family, and Bob and Elizabeth. Remember them from a way back. And it was so nice on Friday night to see Heather and Wayne Downey. They were the first people, I believe, that joined the church. They joined the church about 2 months after it started in 1980. And so it's a real joy to be here and to see the work, and congratulate our young brother here for the call the Lord has given to him and his acceptance of that call to take up the ministry. And so we do rejoice greatly. Friday night was a tremendous encouragement. We have prayed much for you during the vacancy, and we thank the Lord that now you have a man of your own. Now, I was greatly concerned when my colleague, Dr. Saunders, was speaking in the Bible class, because he was speaking from Psalm 71, a very encouraging message. Now, we come from the same church. He's my son-in-law, actually. And we come from the same church, so we knew we were coming here. But we did not collude in any way in the what we're talking about and preaching about. And here, twice in his message, he mentioned my text. So that I was afraid in case he's going to steal all my thunder. But then what happened was that it's also an encouragement, because I knew that what I have is the right word, and what he had was the right word for the people. And so we're not going to look back any further. We're going to look forward. And I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we will commence our reading a few verses at the beginning, and then we'll have a little break and go down further down the chapter. Exodus chapter 14. The children of Israel have just come out of Egypt in the Exodus. They're now getting ready to continue their journeys. And in Exodus 14 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh." Then we're going down to verse number 10. Pharaoh decided to follow after the children of Israel with his armies and his chariots and his horses. And in verse 10, "When Pharaoh drew nigh the children of Israel, lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. So just before we look at the word, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this beautiful Lord's Day thou hast given to us. There's one day in seven where we can draw aside from the cares, the toils, and the anxieties of this present world and meet together in the house of God, with the people of God, around the Word of God, and especially with the presence of the Lord himself. And Father, we thank thee for thy blessing already from the Word of God in the Bible class. And now, Lord, as we further look at thy word, we pray that thou would bless the people, that thou would prepare their hearts to receive it. And Father, we pray that it will be a means of encouragement to them. And we ask of thee, Lord, that thou would greatly bless thy young servant as he has taken up the ministry here, and bless the people. And we pray, O God, that this church shall be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And Father, we pray that thou would do great things. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us, and refresh us, and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we're going to look forward a little bit. We did have a couple of words there regarding the past, and we're going to look forward a little bit. And I want to leave a text with you, just two words to challenge you and to encourage you as you've come to this new area in the ministry of Calgary, the Free Presbyterian Church. Verse number 15, you've got the command of the Lord through Moses to speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And the words there I want to focus on are those two words, go forward. Now Israel found themselves in a very difficult and challenging situation. They had the Red Sea ahead of them. To the inland they had the mountains of Ethiopia. And behind them they had the most unpleasant view of all, and that was the dust of the chariots and horses of the army of Egypt following after them, and they had their swords sharpened for the kill. It was at that time, that difficult time, that the Lord gave them a command, go forward. But we ask the question, how can they go forward? They're hemmed in here with the sea and the mountains and the army of Egypt behind them. Well, the first thing is that God sent a man. God always has a man for his work, and he had one for Israel, and that man's name, of course, was Moses. And for the work here, God has a man, and he's brought the man here, and I believe the Lord is going to bless the man that he has called to this part of his vineyard. Now first of all, Moses, he was a called man, because over in chapter 3 and verse 10, God said to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now when Moses heard that, it caused him to have some difficulty because he didn't feel up to the task at all. But he was a called man, called by God. Now in the ministry of the Word of God, it is essential that the man called is absolutely convinced of the call that he has received from the Lord. And I'm glad to hear the testimony of our young brother here. It is obvious that God has sealed that call to him, and he knows that this is where the Lord would have him be. You see, in every work of every church, no matter whether it's a small church or bigger church, every church has an ebbing and a flowing of its ministry. Sometimes you go through times of great flow tide blessing. Other times it's not like that. It seems to be an ebb tide. And so you have the flowing and the ebbing in the work of the Lord. Now for the minister, if he ever comes to the place where he begins to question, am I supposed to be here? Is this the place where the Lord wants me? Have I made a mistake in coming here? If he begins to question his call, then he is in serious difficulty. Because in the times of difficulty, he needs to be able to say, I'm here. Not because I chose this place, I'm here at thy bidding and at thy will. And then once you can rest on that, that you're here in the will of the Lord, then it doesn't matter what happens along the way, because you know the Lord will bring you through and will strengthen you in the ministry of the Word. And so it's important that a man has a clear call. I've heard this young man's testimony, and that is what he has from the Lord, just like Moses. But also, Moses was not just a called man, he was a concerned man. And we must never, ever treat the call of God to ministry lightly. And neither did Moses. He was called of God to do a particular job, and then Moses had some problem and some concern, because he says in verse 11 of chapter 3, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so he's thinking, well, Lord, somebody else could do it better than me. Why are you calling me? And so he was fearful and concerned about the call, and what it was, of course, was his own ability. He's questioning, Lord, am I able to do that to which thou hast called me? And you'll find that, as was mentioned also in Dr. Saunders' message in the Bible class, that Jeremiah had the same thing. He was called of the Lord, and young Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord told me, not a child, you'll speak for the message that I give you. And so there was this concern. And so when the Lord calls you to a ministry, the first thing that comes into your heart is a fear. I remembered when I was called, and I was 34 years of age at the time when I was called into the ministry, and I thought, Lord, how can I start going back to study after being 15 years in a particular line of work? How am I going to start and study theology and all this? Lord, I don't think I'll be able to do this. And so the first thing is, you have a fear, Lord. Lord, I'm afraid to get involved in this here. And then the next thing, that's replaced by another fear. And this is worse, because this fear is, Lord, I dare not refuse the call of God. And so you're fearful of not doing the call and the work of the Lord. And so it becomes a compulsion. As Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so the Lord puts a compulsion upon us that we have to preach the word of the living God. And Paul also calls it the foolishness of preaching, because all we can do is speak. Now, I remember a dear brother who came to our church in Toronto and doing some personal work, and he had been witnessing to somebody, some of these men who I know who I'm talking about. He came witnessing to some people, and they just did not get the message. And he says, brother, I would love just to give them an uppercut and get them to think. And I said, well, that's not the way you do it, brother. All we do it is by speech. And so we speak the word of the Lord, and there's this compulsion. We have to minister the word of God, and we do it. It's called the foolishness of preaching, the foolishness because the world regards it as foolishness, but to us it is the power of God unto salvation. And it tells us that the Lord is pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. No other way. It is by the preaching. And so the man of God must be a called man and concerned about his own ability and concerned then about not taking up the call that the Lord has given to him. This young man already has really gone through that and has responded and has come here to minister the word of the Lord. But also Moses was a commissioned man, because whom the Lord calls, he equips. And so he called Moses, he sent him, and he equipped him. And no matter how many fears you have about your ability, it's wonderful what God can do, because you compare the beginning of the ministry of Moses with the end, and what a change there is. Because in Exodus 4:10, that Moses says, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, but I am slow of speech." Well, you can never accuse our brother of being slow of speech, because he's got the same problem I have, and that is speaking far too fast at times, because some of the locals may not understand the accent that we have. So I used to write in my notes the first note, S-L-O-W, and get it slowed down. And even to this day, I still tend to race along a little bit. Moses said, I'm not eloquent, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. This is the beginning of his ministry. Now you go to the end of the book of Deuteronomy and you'll see the end of his ministry. And look at the change it is, because here he is in Deuteronomy 32 verses 1 and 2. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall distill, shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, because I will publish the name of the Lord." And that's a change, because here's a man who's slow of speech and not eloquent, and now he's calling the very heavens to listen to him as his doctrine would distill as the dew. You see, whom the Lord calls, he gives to them the power and the equipment to do the job. And then Moses was a choice man, because he was just the man that God had for the job. And the Lord always has a man for the job. And for the job here, we've been praying for quite a while that God would bring the right man. And I am confident that the Lord has brought the right man in Armin Tomassian for this job here. And I do pray that the Lord will bless him greatly. Now, so God sent a man to the children of Israel in this time of need. They also sent a message. There is a word in the Bible called pilgrimage, and you find the early fathers used to speak about the days of their pilgrimage. And the pilgrimage is a word that means to go forward. And even though there may be difficulties in the way, as there is in life, that it is a matter of going forward. Now, Israel, as I've told you, were hemmed in. They found themselves in a difficult position because God said, "Go forward." But how can they go forward? Because they look out there and they see the waters of the Red Sea and no ferry boats and no ships there to take them across. And so they see the waters and, "Lord, we can't go that way." And so they turn their eyes towards the west and to the south, and they can see the range of mountains. They are uncrossable. They are for a million so far people, but we can't go that way, Lord. And so some of them thought, "Well, let's get back to Egypt." And they look back and they see a cloud of dust behind them, and that dust is telling them that Pharaoh's armies are on the march, and their chariots are coming across the desert, and they're catching up on them, and the children of Israel stuck here. They can't go anywhere. They can't go forward, they can't go that way, and they can't go back. And so here they are stuck in this position, and yet the Lord says, "Go forward." So now what do you do when you get a command like that? They were really in a fix. And panic settled in, because you find there in verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And so now what do we do? We've got a position here where we're just in a hopeless situation. What are we going to do? And they told Moses, why did you bring us out here in the first place? But Moses, he gives some advice, and that was, don't panic. Don't panic, because in verse 13, Moses said, fear ye not, stand still. Now they would be running back and forward. Look, you see what's coming behind us? And look, what are we going to do? We're going to get slaughtered here. And so they're all concerned, and they don't know what to do. And the army is following after them, and they are in a serious situation. Moses says, stand still. Let's not run around in panic. And he tells them that, I think something that Moses himself didn't really understand, that the Egyptians cannot see them anymore after today. They are gone after today. And so the message was to go forward. And in our day, in the Christian church, the message is still the same, to go forward. And my friend, we are living in a very difficult time. I have ministered in Toronto since 1976. And I can notice in this last 20 years particularly that there are challenges facing the church today that it never faced, well, it did face them, but not so seriously as today. For example, our city that of Toronto, that they used to call it Toronto the Good, but no longer do they call it that, because it's now, when I first went there in 1963, it was what you call a big shanty town. But it has now become a world-class city, and with world-class problems that come along with it. And so there are serious challenges. The Christendom, that is that which is loosely called Christendom and following the name of the Lord. Because ecumenism has been a problem, and that is trying to get all the Christian churches joined together into one. But that has now morphed into syncretism, that if you believe in any God, you can work together with other people. But Christianity is an exclusive religion. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we've got an exclusive religion here. And you take your stand for God, and you'll discover that things are not easy. The ministry of God today is not easy. And morality has morphed into immorality, and evangelism has been largely replaced by marketing. I know a particular pastor, not in our denomination, but he was saved by the grace of God. And in his work before he was saved, he was a salesman for some particular product. And he thought, when the Lord called him into the ministry, by virtue of my sales experience, I will really do a great job. And I remember he made a change, because he started to put a little paper, and it was entitled, God Blesses Small Churches, because he discovered that you cannot build the church by marketing, but there are many today who try it. And the other problem is that earnestness in the work of God has been replaced by a desire for entertainment. This is not an entertainment place. This is a place where we come solemnly before Almighty God to worship Him, to preach His gospel, and to reach the lost with the good news that Christ can save to the uttermost, though all those that come unto God by Him. So there are serious challenges facing the Christian church today. Not only that, but you have other religions. If you went to our church in Toronto, we are here. Just a mile away, that away is a Muslim mosque. And that mosque has a congregation, according to the Toronto Star newspaper, of 17,800. Now, they're not always there. But you go on a Friday past it, and you'll see the police out directing the cars and so on, as hundreds and hundreds of them are going for prayer on Friday. The Muslims there, and just the north of our, next to our property in Toronto, there's a Muslim school. It says there, a school for virtuous living. I'm very tempted to rub out that word virtuous and put in violent living, because we've got a problem in North America, and I'm not going to go into that in detail, but you know what it is. We have also a mile the other direction, a Hindu temple. We have a Sikh temple out 45 degrees from us, and again about a mile away. And so this country now has found that Christianity, which used to bear a degree of power, is now just another of many religions, and it has been diluted by the presence of some of these others, and there seems an immense desire to try and soften things down so that we soften down to make ourselves acceptable to these other religions. But we are to maintain the ministry that the Lord has called us to, which is to stand for the Lord Jesus. And then another problem is the professing church, and I'm talking now about the evangelical church, largely has lost its vision and its mission and its strength. And it's lost, it seems, the presence of the Lord. And so just as Moses and the children of Israel were hemmed in here and didn't know what to do and how to go forward, and God said, go forward. Well, there was a grain of comfort for them, and they had to stop and listen. And what that grain of comfort was, it says there in chapter 14, and in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. What does that mean? That means the position that they found themselves in, that was so difficult and well nigh impossible, it was God who led them into that place. And as we face our difficulties in the church and the ministry, we have to realize at any given time the Lord has led us here. And sometimes the Lord has to hold his people's feet to the fire to waken them up. And sometimes our feet are held to the fire as the Lord would want to lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. But the Lord sent a message, and the message was, go forward. And he sent a man to lead them in that task. And the Lord has done that here for you folks in Calgary. And then the good news is that God not only sent a man on a message, he sent a miracle. And that miracle was to do something impossible. God says, go forward. And they say, Lord, we can't. No ships, no ferry boats. We can't go forward. We can't do it. God gave them the impossible command. And when God gives you a command, you'll discover, if you study in the Old Testament and the New Testament, I have never, to my knowledge, remembered a place where if God's people have followed the commands and the directions of the Lord, that they've ever had to retreat. Because God leads them forward. And that's what he's saying here, let us go forward. And if the Lord leads us into a difficult place, he will lead us out in victory. And like I remember in 76 when we started, we had a terrible time in Toronto where all the TV stations and radio stations and newspapers that opposed to us, that didn't want the free church to get a foothold in this land. But the land, the Lord has given us a good foothold, and we thank the Lord for answered prayer. But when the Lord leads us into a place where we are in a difficult area, that he will also lead us forward to victory. Because what he did here, he did something that they never thought possible, and that was to open up the Red Sea and to give a passage way through. Now, they were going to go forward in knowledge, because they had knowledge of the Lord's dealings with them in Israel when they served Pharaoh. they had dealing, they had knowledge of the Lord's dealing with them at the Exodus and the Passover and so on. And they had the experience of a Lord leading them now to this place by a high road. And so they had that knowledge. But now they're going to experience something new, something they haven't seen before, something the world had never seen before. They're going to see something. And as we step forward here in Calgary, that may the Lord help us to learn and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, not just living on past experiences, but on present experiences and great experiences for the days to come. So they're going to learn some things. And then they're going to have a serious message of faith. They're going to go forward in faith, because you put yourself in their shoes. And here they are at the Red Sea, and that's ahead of them. The mountains of Ethiopia, that's out of the question now. Going backwards is out of the question because of Pharaoh's armies. God said, go forward. Now you put yourself in the heart of one of those children of Israel. He's just told us to go forward. There are no boats, no ferry boats. What does he mean? Is God going to drown us? Does he want us to go into the sea and be drowned? And they had to take a step in faith. And that step was, they had to go forward and put their feet to the edge of the water. So they obeyed God. And when they obeyed God, then God stepped in and did what they couldn't do and opened up the passageway miraculously, and they passed through on dry ground. In the work of God, we are called to exercise faith in the Lord. And I found that many people, many Christians, even ministers, have the wrong view of faith. And that is, I know one particular brother who said, if the Lord will do so and so and so and so, then I will do so and so. But that's the wrong way round. That's the wrong way round. Because if the Lord does so and so for you, then how do you have to exercise faith? What you do is, the Lord wants you to step forth and believe Him. Let me give you an illustration. I used to live in Seattle, work for Boeing. Our minister was murdered. And the Lord called me into the ministry at that time. And we had a nice house in Ireland before I left the country. When we came to Canada in 1963, house sold easily. Then we worked for 4 years in Toronto in the aircraft industry there. And we moved to Seattle. The house in Toronto sold. I didn't even have to advertise it. The man in the work bought it off me. And so over in Seattle, we bought another house there when we lived there. And now time to leave the place. And I thought within myself, well, if the first house sold in a week and the second house didn't even need to be advertised, now that I'm going into the ministry, that this house will just sell like that. But do you ever try to sell a house in which a murder was performed? Not easy. We put it up for sale, and I had already committed to going back to Ireland to commence studies for the ministry and was ready to go. The house wasn't sold. After 3 months, advertised not even one car in 3 months. So I'm faced with something. What do I do? Do I delay our return until we sell the house because there's a mortgage on it? It's going to bankrupt us just to leave it behind. So my wife and I discussed the matter. We came to the place. The Lord has called us. And whether this house sells or does not sell, we go. Take a step in faith. So we left the house in the hands of a real estate agent. And we took the train from Seattle up to Vancouver, and then the transcontinental train from Vancouver to Toronto, and then by ship home to Ireland. So it took 3 days or so to get from Seattle up to Vancouver and across to Toronto. Got to Toronto to stay a few days with my wife's sister, and says, "There's a telegram for you." Opened the telegram. House sold. You see, I had to take the step in faith, first of all, and then what I couldn't do, God did. And in faith, we have to go forward and take the step, and sometimes it's very, very difficult, but the Lord makes a way, a miraculous way, through the storm and through the sea, and so He blesses us tremendously. And I tell you, the joy that if we had sold our house in Seattle, it was nice, nice to get it sold and get that worry away. But when we got to Toronto and got that word, our hearts were so filled with the joy of the Lord, because we knew this was not our doing, this was not coincidence, this was the hand of God. And when you see that, your faith is increased and encouraged by the Lord. So attempt in this church here, attempt big things for God. Attempt great things for God. Because God does do great things. And we were singing there earlier, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." And so they went forward in knowledge, they went forward in faith, and they also went forward in trust, because the Lord sent with them a pillar of cloud and fire. And when they went through the Red Sea, the Lord had the pillar behind them, keeping the Egyptians back until the children of Israel were safe on the other side of the Red Sea. You see, Israel at that time had to burn their bridges. No turning back. And this young man and his family, they have already burned their bridges. There's no turning back to Northern Ireland. He's called here to work in this place here, and so go forward in trust, and you'll find that the Lord, He will make a way through the seas of difficulty and the hard things that lie ahead. And then also, they're going to learn something more. They're going to go forward in fellowship, because all together they were to go forward across the Red Sea and eventually in days to come into the promised land. All of them. You see, if any of the children of Israel had straggled behind, the Egyptians are going to get them. And in our work, that stragglers, they fall foul of the roaring lion who is watching out for stragglers. Any lion is looking at a herd of cattle, potential food, or antelopes and so on, potential food. They look for the straggler. When God's people straggle behind, that's when the devil gets them. God's people need to stay together and work together. And I do pray that this congregation will be welded tightly together in the bond of Christian love and shall march forward and claim great things for the Lord. I remember many years ago, I may have shared this with some of you in the past, but many years ago, my wife and I and our kids and my brother and his family, we went to a steam rally in Northern Ireland, Randallstown, if you want to know where it is. Went to a steam rally, and I love things mechanical, engines and airplanes and things of that nature. And we went along to the steam rally, all these great big steam engines puffing out smoke, and it was a lot of fun, and tractors and all kinds of things. Well, we had a great day there, but one of the things that really struck me is this great big steam engine on the drive wheels were about 10 foot diameter. Great big wheels, and this thing puffing out smoke and so on. So they issued a challenge, and the driver of the thing issued a challenge to the children, and they said, all the children come along here. And they tied ropes out from the back of the steam engine, and the kids, they came, and they took a bit of the rope. And so it was about 200 kids all together, all holding these ropes. And the driver, he said that he was going to pull them forward. And they were to try to attempt and pull the engine back. And I had to laugh that day because he got the engine up and got the steam up and the puffs and so on. And he pulled his levers and so on, and the big wheels began to turn. And the kids back here, they began to pull. And I had to laugh because the kids pulled the engine right back and they couldn't get a grip on the ground. And you see what a united effort can do? You can do something that's impossible. And when God's people, when they are together, they can do great things by the power of the Lord. And they're going to learn another lesson in closing, and that was the lesson of victory. Because the ultimate aim of this whole exercise was for the glory of God. Verse 4, the Lord said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. And Paul takes it up in Romans chapter 9 and verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. They got total victory, and the next chapter is the chapter where they sing the song of the Lord and the song of redemption. I do pray that this congregation will be fully united behind its new minister under his leadership, just as Israel were behind Moses. That may the Lord bless him as he gives leadership. Give him wisdom to understand how to act and to react to the various situations, and that they go forward with the ultimate aim of the glory of the Lord our God. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the encouragement of thy word, that even though when thou dost seem to give to us an impossible task, thou dost step in, send the miracle, and give the victory. We ask, O Lord, that thou would bless this congregation. We thank thee, O God, for bringing them to this point of time. And we ask, O Lord, to bless thy young servant. Endue him with the power of God from on high. And even though, Lord, the way will be difficult days, but there will be good days, and we pray that this church here may achieve greater things than ever before. And so we commend them to thee. We pray that thou would bless them with that blessing that maketh rich. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.